What's up? It's Bailey in Venice
with Conspiracy Buzz.
Yes, today. Oh, sorry.
So welcome back to this week's podcast. And today we actually have a special guest for you guys.
Yes, his name is Jeff Marshall. He is my dad. And he will be talking about the Shakespeare conspiracy theory that talks about whether or not Shakespeare was several different people, or if some of his best works of art were written truly by him.
And so we thought we would let you guys know we have a website, and we also have an email on our website, so you can, like, guys can contact us or whatever. So it's Conspiracy Buzz.
It's conspiracybuzz.nitosa.org.
I believe so. If not, we can link it on our, I don't know. But we do have a website, and I hope you guys like it. It talks a lot about our different podcasts that we have, that we, each episode, and it gives you guys a little insight on me and Venice. And I think you guys will like it.
Yeah. All right. I'm going to get Jeff on the phone.
Jeff, hello. Hi, how are you?
Hi, it's Venice.
Hi.
You are on air.
Great.
So, you are talking about a conspiracy theory today. Would you like to give us a little intro on that?
Well, absolutely. I love conspiracy theories, and I think part of the reason that I find them so fascinating is that no matter where you look, there's always the story that everyone knows, and then there's alternate story.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that's part of the human condition, to take things that are a mystery or things that confuse us or surprise us and try to imagine what circumstances led us to that conclusion. And it's sometimes hard to accept that chaos dictates much of our world. It's easier to imagine that this was actually an orderly, planned thing, and then we try to figure out how did we get here. But then there's other conspiracy theories that are just so delicious, you just can't resist.
Yes, you're talking about the Shakespeare conspiracy theory today.
Yes, that's one of my favorites.
Yeah, so is it basically just we're wondering if Shakespeare was actually one person or if it was a group of people? Or
there are a couple of competing theories on that. I'm just going to start out by saying that William Shakespeare, although if you were to read his works today, we might not be totally blown away by them, but he is one of the most influential writers and playwrights and thinkers in English history. Most of the stories that you know, a story like Star Wars or Twilight, or those are directly from Shakespearean plays. The idea of the reluctant hero or the young wanderer who finds the old wizard who helps him, or the star-crossed lovers who can't achieve the love that they desire. Those are all Shakespearean ideals that we still use. He wrote 37 plays. I think he had like 150 other written works. And here's kind of a cool statistic. 10% of the most common quoted lines in the English language were written by Shakespeare. Things like mum's the word, or neither here nor there, or to be or not to be. Those are all, I already just used one a minute ago, star-crossed lovers. Those are all things that Shakespeare wrote. He also wrote almost 3,000 words. He made up the words, and they became English words. And these aren't weird words. You know these words. Words like bandit and dwindle and critic and lonely. And even the word elbow, those were all written by William Shakespeare.
Wow. That's weird.
It is.
I wonder what you called your elbow then before Shakespeare came around.
Yeah.
Your arm knee?
Oh, that works. That works.
So, what kind of information would lead people to think that he's not one person or that some of his works aren't really his?
Yeah. So, the theory kind of goes that no other person even comes close. We're talking not even remotely close to the volume of work. So, simply put, if you look at that much work, it's hard to believe that one person could have done it. Mm-hmm. But what's more is that this is an uneducated person. Shakespeare's father was a glove maker, and Shakespeare didn't go to school. So, you can imagine that there's a very classist argument to say, how is it that our most learned people who went to university couldn't produce more than a dozen plays, and some nobody off the street became, you know, this incredibly prolific writer? It actually is kind of hard to believe when you look at it that way.
Mm-hmm.
So the question then becomes, was Shakespeare not really Shakespeare?
Yeah.
Of theories on who Shakespeare could have really been. Some people think that Shakespeare was actually Francis Bacon. I don't know if you know Francis Bacon, but he was a famous philosopher and a writer. But maybe writing plays was a little bit too lowbrow for someone educated like him, so he wrote under a false name, William Shakespeare. There are other ideas that it could have been, what was another name? The Earl of Oxford may have been the real William Shakespeare, or Christopher Marlowe. These are more traditional educated writers of that era. And again, maybe because Shakespeare's plays made fun of politicians and talked a lot about sex and talked a lot about violence, it could be that those people were writing plays under his name. But I think the more fascinating idea is that William Shakespeare was a real person and a real playwright, but he represented a group. And instead of them being competitors, they agreed to put everything under one name and share the spoils.
That would make sense.
Oh, go ahead.
Oh, I was just saying that would make sense if it was like an organization of people and they had one representative.
Exactly. And you can see why, because he would be more famous as one person and they could kind of split the money rather than a bunch of competing writers. And there's some really good evidence for that. In several of Shakespeare's plays, he describes real places. And one in particular, and I believe it's Midsummer's Night, but I'm not totally sure. He describes an orange grove that's in Italy. And he describes it in such detail, and it's accurate. But the funny thing is, there's really zero chance, I mean zero chance, that Shakespeare was ever at that place.
Mm-hmm.
He never traveled outside of England, and there was no Wikipedia. There wasn't even an encyclopedia. There's no way Shakespeare could have gone to the library and said, I want to know about some random orange grove in Italy.
Mm-hmm.
The only way that anyone could have written with that much detail would be if they had actually walked through it.
Hmm.
And there are dozens of examples of that throughout his works. And so the idea is perhaps his group was pulling on their own shared experiences and said, well, I was at this place one time. Well, I was at this place one time. And they used those to flesh out the stories.
Hmm. Oh, that would...
That makes sense.
Yeah. Well, that's really cool.
You know, there's, on the flip side of all this, you can imagine, like I said earlier, that there's an element of classism to this, and the idea that an uneducated person could be a more prolific writer than all of the educated people, you can see why people want to discredit him.
Mm-hmm.
And so... or like I said earlier, that this defies our understanding. So it's more delicious to come up with some alternative theory rather than just accept the most likely reality is that he was a prodigy and an amazing writer, and that's just the end of it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I thought it was funny. I was doing some research about it the other day, and I read that he was not that famous when he was alive. He became more famous as the years went on after his death.
Absolutely. That is kind of a crazy thing, and it was hundreds of years, really. I mean, it was 60 years before anyone even noticed, and then about 200 years after his death is when his works really, really came to light. And, you know, there's all kinds of crazy things, like, you know, he died on... That's kind of one of those little things that adds a little mystery.
He died on a what? Sorry.
He died on his own 52nd birthday.
Oh.
So, like, his day of birth and his day of death are the same. And one of the things that adds, I should have mentioned this before because it's really important, he didn't always spell his name the same way.
Now, oh.
Literacy at that time was very hit and miss, so it wasn't that shocking that someone would spell their name slightly differently, maybe on their baptism certificate and on their birth certificate or on some kind of court document. Mm-hmm. But what's crazy is that we know that Shakespeare was a good writer.
Mm-hmm.
He could spell, he could write, he could imagine. So the fact that he himself would have misspelled his name, some people say 20 different ways throughout his life, it's like, how could that possibly be? A person who is a learned, literate person couldn't even spell his own name consistently. That is something that we can't get over, because that's a fact.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so the idea that many different people were pretending to be Shakespeare kind of lends itself to that.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good point. Or maybe... like, what if Shakespeare is just a name? I've thought about that before. Like, if a bunch of people were doing this, and maybe they were just going under the name Shakespeare, William Shakespeare.
Yeah. Can I share with you a couple of other Shakespeare phrases that are so common?
Yeah.
You ever heard foregone conclusion?
Mm-hmm.
The be all and end all.
Mm-hmm.
The world is my oyster.
Yes.
we've seen better days.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Eaten out of house and home.
That's a new one.
Yeah.
wild goose chase.
Yeah, I've heard that one.
I mean, it's just hard to imagine that one person could have come up with all these things that became our total lexicon. Like I said, 10% of the most common phrases in English written by one person. We're talking about a language that's thousands of years old.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's like hard to think about.
Yeah, that is weird to think about. Are you there?
I am.
Okay, sorry, there was a noise.
It's okay.
Well, do you have anything else that you would like to add?
I'll just say that he's not the only famous person to have these kinds of accusations that maybe he didn't exist. There's another one. There was a sailor who was became very famous, but when people dug into his past, when historians looked into his past, they couldn't find any record of his life prior to his major accomplishments. And there was this idea that perhaps this sailor didn't really exist. He may have been another sailor who did something that he wasn't supposed to do and had to basically resign his captaincy and assume a new captaincy under a new name because he was not someone that's allowed to be hired. And the person I'm talking about, you've probably heard of him, is Christopher Columbus.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I've heard about that.
Yeah. It's very likely that even the name Christopher Columbus was possibly a derivation of the Knights of Columbus.
Mm.
But yeah, that he was an Italian captain who had made some horrible mistake, either that resulted in somebody's death, or maybe he wasn't supposed to be with, and he was disavowed.
Mm-hmm.
But when the Genoese, I'm sorry, I had a background, he was Genoese. When the Italian monarchy wanted to cross the ocean, they went for whoever was the best sailor, and it was him. And they said, well, we can't hire this guy because he's got this scandal. So they said, all right, well, guess what? You're now Christopher Columbus. Have a good time.
Oh.
And we'll never know. I mean, some of those things sound so ridiculous, but they also sort of make sense. So we're stuck in the middle going, it's a conspiracy.
Yeah.
It's super cool to think about, though.
Yeah, and you can see why people would want to tear down a great person like Shakespeare because he breaks the norms. But you can also see why it's certainly possible that he's not real, or Christopher Columbus.
Yeah, that's a good point.
It makes sense.
You know what's funny, though? I haven't actually seen either of you. Are you real?
Yes, we are real. I mean, our listeners won't see us either, but that's okay.
That is true.
I promise, guys, we're real.
We're not bots.
All right, well, I know you are a busy man.
Yes, I have more conspiracies to study.
Okay, yes, we may have you back.
That would be wonderful, anytime.
Okay, well, thank you very much, Jeff.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, guys.
Bye. Right. Thank you. Have a nice day.
You too.
Bye.
Well, guys, that was Jeff Marshall and his, not ideology, but ideas on Shakespeare.
His theories and everything.
And it was pretty interesting. I actually didn't know until, maybe last week that people thought that Shakespeare was a different person. But I feel like it is possible. I feel like it is a definite possibility that it was more than one people acting as one. Because there's no way he wrote all of those in, that good of sense.
Mm-hmm.
There's just no way.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many. I mean, there's tons of works, and they're big ones and very complex. So it's hard to believe that one person wrote
all of a glove maker. A son of a glove maker who didn't have an education could just come up with these concepts.
Yeah.
That's really weird.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is weird.
It kind of sucks that we'll never know, too.
But the thing is that, I feel like we do know. I feel like the government knows and, people know that it was more than one person. But, these, mysteries of it all, is what the government wants us to, have. They want us to be, confused almost. Mm-hmm. Kind of. I was watching these things and it was of the Freemason, which is a group of elites.
Mm-hmm.
And they come together and stuff. They let people see them get ready and stuff for their meetings. They just don't let anybody go in and listen. And it's really weird. It has the Rothschild, the 13 pure blood families in it. Mm-hmm. And it's just really weird. So there's definitely lies that these people are telling us just so we don't go in depth, but not all of us are stupid to mm-hmm. believe it.
Yeah.
I think that's why some people think conspiracy theorists are crazy. Not us, but let's clarify that. But I feel like people want other people to think that conspiracy theorists are crazy because they have these wild ideas when in reality they're not really wild. They're just in depth and mm-hmm. a better understanding of the idea of it.
Yeah.
It's just weird to think about.
It is. It's good to have people that like talking about it, though, to talk about stuff like that on our podcast. We would love to have more volunteers to be interviewed and talk about some conspiracy theories that you guys have. So yeah.
Yeah. We enjoy doing this. It's pretty fun.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And we do have a website. You can check out our website. It's conspiracybuzz.nitosa.org. conspiracybuzz.nitosa.org.
And I hope you guys enjoy it. And we have an email on there. You can email us.
Mm-hmm.
Any ideas, comments. So.
Yes. We will have some merch soon.
We will on our website. We're coming up with new and good ideas for it. So we hope you guys like it and enjoy it.
Yeah.
As much as we do. So thank you guys for listening this week on our 5th episode. Yep. And I hope you guys enjoy next week's episode. It'll be interesting, I think.
Yes, it will be a surprise. And we'll probably post about it on our website.
Yeah, so be looking on there. And we hope you guys enjoyed this week's episode. And we'll see you next week.
Yeah.